I would like to say thanks for the co-authors of this work, Dr. Daniel Markowitz and Caitlin Hodges, and especially my advisor, Aaron Thompson, from the University of Georgia. I would like to acknowledge the National Science Foundation for founding this research, which is part of the Critical Zone Observatory's amazing and very interesting program. And we are studying particularly the Calhoun CZO, which is in the Piedmont of the southeast of the United States, in the state of South Carolina. This site is very interesting because there is a story. The story behind is that in the 30s and 40s, there's the cotton farms that was present in this region. And because the crisis, they abandoned these farms, there's a huge erosion events happening. And there's a lot of scientists, part of the critical zone, studying different aspects of the ecosystem and try to understand the holistic of this environment. And especially, there's a lot of interesting things happening biogeochemically in the upland soils. And as my advisor, Thompson and Chumei Chen, present on Monday, if probably you are in their talks, they're talking about the importance of understanding better in the iron and the carbon cycling in these upland soils. And these photos are from the Richter in Calhoun. And we know that those two elements, they are coupled together and driven especially by the bacteria. And in the field, the soil moisture, the redox potential as well, the concentration of oxygen are important parameters to drive the iron reduction and oxidation, and also the dynamics of carbon. The preliminary data from this site that I was studying, showing the iron 2, which was extracted by 0.5 molar HCl, is a good indicator how the reducing condition of the soil. You could see counterintuitively that there is more iron 2 in the upland soils than the foot slopes, for example, and there's much more higher concentration of carbon as well. And this, of course, decreases by depth. That's also a paper from Stephen Hall I just published showing similar, for example, especially for the iron 2. An interesting study from Caitlin Hodges, also a master's student in Aaron Thompson's lab, using EMI electromagnetic induction to measure soil moisture across the landscape for the average of 1 meter, and this is the moisture average for 1 meter through 1 year, and you can see the purple color is the high moisture. So there's some interesting spots in the top of the landscape, in the upland positions, that we thought was very nice to understand this better. In a simplistic way, to look at these landscape positions, there is the movement of sediments from the upland positions of the landscape down to the foot slope. And this leads to a shallow clay layer in this upland and a more deep clay found in the foot slope. Therefore, the foot slope has like basically a pack of sand with a lot of sediments, and the upland positions has a very shallow B horizon, about, you know, 10 to 15, 30 centimeters. And this is very interesting because you create a kind of a perched water table right there. So you increase the moisture, and also because the accumulation of organic matter, the biogeochemical cycles for iron and carbon can take place in these upland positions more interestingly compared to the foot slopes. And also, scientists have been showing Calhoun that over time, January, February, usually much more wetter and cold, and then May and June, that's much more drier and hot, and we have this transition in the middle. So therefore, also one of the hypotheses, I think, is that there is going to be a decrease in soil moisture, as well as decrease in iron reduction, VOC release, as well as the opposite is going to increase the soil temperature, and at the same time, this the biological activity because of the microbes and also the CO2 emissions. Therefore, the objective is actually studying the temporal and the spatial variation for iron and carbon dynamics in this particular site. So during this spring warm-up, how this element is going to change, and also over these two different interesting landscape positions. Therefore, I was taking soil samples every 10 to 15 days in the Calhoun CZO from January to June 2017, and I was taking these measurements of water extractable organic carbon, iron 2, short-range order iron bisitrate ascorbate, and pH in water. Very interesting point about these samples, especially for the iron 2, I was putting the sample in the acid in the field. Within a few minutes that I took the soil sample, I was placing the sample in the acid, so the measurements of iron 2 is very fresh, as well as the other samples. As soon as I took the sample, I brought to the lab and was all the analysis conducted the same day very quickly to interpret what is really happening to don't have any changes over time for the samples. At the same time, I also deploy sensors of soil moisture, redox potential using platinum electrodes, and also I measure the CO2 flux of these areas. And we have four locations, two upland positions and two foot slopes. And I was looking, therefore, at the 0 to 10 meters, which have much more organic matter and much more processes happen, and at the same time what's going on down below between 10 and 30 centimeters. So this is a general overall soil characterization for both upland 1 and 2 and foot slope 1 and 2. And if you're going to focus a little bit more upland number 2, which, for example, let's start with the carbon content. There's much more carbon, of course, in the A horizon, and also compared to these other landscape positions. Very interestingly as well, if you look at the clay content, the upland number 2 has actually a BT in the horizon. And the upland number 1, even though it's in this upland position, is still the B horizon a little bit more deeper. The 10 to 30 centimeters is more like a E/B horizon. We could also, there's an interesting correlation with the short-ranger iron minerals, which is the biological available iron, so what the bacteria can use and reduce more easily in this kind of environments. And therefore also we found, this is the average for, I was doing a temporal analysis, this is the average for the entire sampling period that I was doing. There's much more iron 2 in this position, upland number 2, compared to the other positions. And here's a temporal variation for both 0 to 10 centimeters and 10 to 30 centimeters. As I explained, because we have much more organic matter, much more short-range order iron, as well as total iron that I was supposed to mention, you see much more iron 2 concentration in the upland number 2 compared to the foot slopes. And the, interestingly also, the upland number 1 behaves similar as the foot slope because of the high concentration of sand. Unfortunately, there is not a huge change in iron 2 that we are supposed to hypothesize that would happen over time. One of the reasons is because, unfortunately, in the winter, it did not rain too much as the past few winters that happened. And, however, it rained a little bit more in May and June, so it was a little bit opposite. So that's why kind of you see a little bit more flat line for the iron content. And you can see this data as the rainfall brings comes to the site, there's increasing moisture and diminishing over time. And then upland number 2, the 10 to 30 centimeters, which is a BT, it still holds lots of water throughout the time. And we also take a look in the redox potential using the platinum electrodes. But since it is an oxic condition, there's not much variation. So it's basically quoted all the time oxic, most of, unless you have microsites that is happening, this iron reduction, that is going to be more anoxic conditions. But, however, the water extracted for organic carbon, there is some interesting things that are happening. So if you can verify right here, during the February and March, there is a decrease of the concentration over time, and we have this kind of V pattern, so it goes down, and then in the summer, it's kind of getting increasing over time. So we want to dive in and do more detailed analysis of the data and multivariate analysis and etc. But because it's just fresh data, but initial correlations that I was doing, for example, in February, when we see there is a diminishing in the organic carbon, water extracted organic carbon content, there's a very nice correlation with the amount of iron too as well. Therefore, if you're reducing more iron, you're also releasing more organic carbon. Dissolved organic carbon. And as well, when you there is an increase in the summer, there's also an increase in the amount of iron 2. Quite good correlations for these particular sites. There's also an interesting correlation inverse with the pH, both when the extracted organic carbon either increase or decrease, the pH was inversely correlated. We also analyzed the iron 2 and also the DOC compared with the short ranger or the iron minerals to verify also this availability for the bacteria to reduce the iron. So there is somewhat correlation, but not so good. And we also measure the CO2 flux throughout the time. Every time I was taking the sample, I took this LICOR infrared to measure the CO2 flux over time. And as we expected, because of the increasing temperature, there is an increase in the CO2 emissions for all the sites. And it's very interesting, there is this bump in the end of March, and it's supposedly very correlated to this, let's say, the low part of the V, if I can call that, for the organic dissolved organic carbon. So definitely that particular part of time, the microbes are using much more of this available and molecular carbon in the system. But if you remember, it's starting the spring, and also the roots are releasing much more CO2. It's hard to determine which is microbial, which is root. But this is the overall CO2 emissions from this site. And some conclusions here, as counterintuitively, the upland sites are showing much more biogeochemically active compared to the food slopes, particularly in these sites in South Carolina and the Calhoun CCO. And we could see some changes over time as well for iron and carbon dynamics throughout the season. With that, I'll take any questions. Thank you. So if I go deeper, for example, as you go all the way to maybe 1 meter, 1.5 meter, now in the foot slope, you might find much more clay, but however, you don't have carbon. So it's very interesting that the foot slope in the top horizons, you have much more carbon, but you don't have down there. So that's what I think it happens. There's kind of a BC, kind of a B and transitional C around 1.5 meters to 2 meters. So it's starting to, but I didn't auger all the way more than 2 meters to find the real CR saprolite. But there's like a still transition from the real BT or B horizon going to more a C horizon around 1.5 meters. So it's very kind of relatively deep B, about 1 meter of BT horizon. No, it's very low, like compared to the other, about like 0.2% carbon, not much, very little amount.
I think we have to move on, so Diego is going to take over.
Yep.